If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of John, the third chapter, and the focus of our time in the Word today will be in one verse, John 3:16. Today is 3:16, and so we will preach, we will study, we will celebrate John 3:16. Now, the verse on the screen will be in the ESV translation, but I don't know if anybody else in the room today has a King James problem like I do. If I add a TH on the end of a verb, forgive me. That's how I know that verse. And so I may misquote the ESV translation. So we are Christians, so you've got to forgive me. But we want to elevate, we want to highlight John chapter 3, verse 16. So here is God's counsel for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want to read it again or quote it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I can remember in Vacation Bible School, you know, back in those old days, when all we had was Kool-Aid and cookies for refreshments. You remember? That's all we had. We had the flannel graph, teaching resources, and I can remember they said, this week you're going to memorize a verse. And I thought, great, let's memorize God is love. I will not be afraid. Those were my levels of memorization. And they said, we're going to memorize John 3:16. And I thought, teacher, you don't know what you're teaching. We can't memorize that. That's the first verse I can remember having to memorize. And that's the first verse I can quote because it's so powerful. We wanted to take a break from our John the Baptist series because it's 3:16. And we want to celebrate 3:16, one of the most familiar passages of scriptures for us believers, but also for unbelievers. For those of you who watch baseball, you can see in the stands, there's always someone with a neon sign that says, John 3:16. But when we read 3:16, when we study it, when we think about it, this is the story of God's love for us in which he redeemed us. And I want to show you four parts to this verse as based upon the grammar of the text. Four parts to this story of God's redeeming love for us. So let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved. The first part of our story is really God's story. Number one, we see the love of God. This is the first part to the story. One of the most popular ways we ever define or describe God, speak of him, is love. God is loving. 1 John chapter 4. It says in verse 6, God is love. Now, when we say love based upon scripture, it means something different than what the world says love is. We got reality shows, game shows about love. Love is blind. Love at first sight. The love boat. I threw that out there for some of you senior saints. Just helping you out. When we talk about love, this is not just a momentary passion. Love is a deep emotion. In fact, it is the strongest of all emotions. It's a commitment. And it's based upon the nature of God himself. We cannot know love without God, because God teaches us about love because he is love. From Genesis to Revelation, God is love. You say, Pastor, in the Old Testament, it didn't come across that way. Oh, yes, it do. Exodus 34, verse 6. There is a God of love. It says it in that verse, speaking with in regard to Moses, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, listen to this, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He is abounding in love, a steadfast love. The issue we begin with in 3:16 is God is loving something that should not be loved. The world is evil. The world is full of sin. The world is fallen in the core of its nature. The world does not seek after God, does not want the love of God. But hear me, believer, God loved the world. The world does not deserve his love. The world is not lovable. And yet this perplexion of the story, God loved the world. You say, Pastor, make it make sense. I can't. That's what's so amazing about this story, that God loved the world. Going back to verse 16 of chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We see the love of God, but here's the second part to this story. It's the work of Christ. The work of Christ. How much did God love the world? Let me tell you how much. He loved the world so much that he sent his son into the world to fix it. The world is broken and needs healing. The world is not good enough to work itself up to God. So God said, I'm going to come down to you. So God came from heaven to grant salvation. And salvation means a freedom from sin, no longer bearing the burden of sin. God wants everyone to be saved. Everyone. He wants everyone to experience freedom in his son, Jesus Christ. It says that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 3 and following. Now, in the previous verses, it said, pray for those in positions of authority, live a peaceful life. We want everybody to be saved. And then in verse 3, this is good, praying for those in authority. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Listen to this, beloved. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And that's why the world hates him. Because he's good. He's perfect. Scripture says he is the light. Darkness doesn't like light. The world hates him. He's without sin. In spite of that, he willingly gave his life in exchange for the world. That way we could have an opportunity to be free. This is the work of Christ. No one else can do this. No one else can do the work. Only the perfect Son of God. He gave himself away so that we could be found. He humbled himself even to the point of death. But one way we talk about the work of Christ, the gift, the work of salvation, is we say Jesus paid the price. So sometimes we say He paid our debt. What we like to say, and I think one of the best ways to describe it, is he paid our ransom. So in terms of the cost of our sin, we've been held hostage. We have been kidnapped. And the price of our sin, the price of our ransom is so great, no one can pay it. I have been researching international travel for the last several months. I plan on traveling in the fall. I've been reading about what the State Department says about travel. I'll say this, if you read what the State Department says, you'll say to yourself, I'm never traveling again. I'm not going anywhere. I was reading about, obviously, Southeast Asia. I'm reading about parts of Africa, and I ran across Nigeria. What is the big risk in Nigeria? It's the risk for kidnapping and ransom. The State Department, our U.S. State Department, says, if you're traveling to Nigeria, this is what they say, reconsider travel to Nigeria. Why is that? Crime, terrorism, civil unrest, kidnapping, armed gangs. Some, if not all, have increased risks. And then I want to know more details. Tell me more. What's going on? The biggest risk and the biggest influx of crimes in Nigeria is kidnappings, in which they ransom the hostage or try to. They're looking for dual national citizens. They're looking for U.S. citizens who may have wealth. They stop people everywhere. Recently, the last year of data, 23 and 24, Nigerians, which this is not a wealthy country, Nigerians have paid $1.42 billion to kidnappers. In this time frame, there have been over 600,000 Nigerians killed. 2.2 million were abducted, either by bandits or organized crime or gangs. They have spent about $1.4 billion, so this would be about $1,700 per kidnapped victim. The problem with such a poor country, they may be kidnapped, but they can't be ransomed. Because they are so poor, the families cannot bring back their loved one because they can't meet the price. When we talk about the Lord Jesus and what he did for us, the bounty, the price of ransom hovering over you was so great, no one could pay that. But God loved you so much that he sent his own son, his only son, to pay the price. Back in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here is the third part to this story. It's the problem of sin. We know Jesus is perfect. We know he is sinless. We know his love is sacrificial. But we have to address this problem we all have. We have to get it out in the open. It's sin. Sin is breaking God's law, breaking his standards. It's also not living up to what you should have done or living up to what you should be doing. That is sin, whether it's active or passive. It's sin. Sin causes problems. Sin causes separation between you and God. Sin can separate individuals of a family. The scripture says that sin causes death. As sin enters into the picture, scripture says, death follows. Because we sin, we deserve to die. That is the cost of sin. It says that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Consider yourself as a worker in sin. It says that for the wages of sin is death. Because you sin, the payment you get in terms of working in sin, the salary, the wages, the return of your sin is death. You say, well, I'll just work my way out of it. The more you live, the more you work, the more you sin, the greater your punishment. You cannot work yourself out of that situation. For the wages of sin is death, but, beloved, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is this problem of sin. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. We're distant from Him. And we will suffer death. We will suffer continual punishment. That verb should not perish. The root of that means to destroy, like Apollyon in the scripture, the destroyer. Sin causes destruction, and your punishment will be never-ending punishment, never-ending destroying, perishing that will not stop. That's what we deserve. Man, the cost of sin, this problem of sin, is too great for us to handle. We can't pay it. About a year ago in Massachusetts, a mom looked at her Amazon account, and she thought she had been hacked. She thought it was a virus or a scam. It turns out it was not. It was her 5-year-old daughter who wrecked her Amazon account. Her daughter, it turns out, they were in the vehicle, and the mom, to pass the time, said, "Here, take my phone and play a game." Turns out the game was Amazon. She ordered 5 pink motorcycles, 5 blue motorcycles. Listen to this, ladies. 10 pair of cowgirl boots. And she ordered herself a Jeep. Her name is Lila. She ordered over $5,000 worth of goods, and her mom didn't have a clue. And she was interviewed for this story. And they pretty much said, "How did you do this?" And she said, "You just press the yellow button and you press the brown button. That's it." Now, the mom, Jessica, thought she's going to play games. It turns out she incurred debt. The problem, the family could not pay. It was a debt too great. Someone else has to take care of this problem because it cannot be paid for. It's like sin. At first, man, this is great. We're going to have so much fun. But then you realize we cannot pay. Here is the problem. Here's the debt that someone else will have to take on. Back in chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Here's the fourth part to this story. It's the gift of eternal life. As specified by the text, this great gift of eternal life, when a person believes, when they have faith in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for their sins, when they believe in him instead of destruction, they get salvation. Instead of perishing, they get life. And it kind of reminds you, God wants everyone to be saved. That is his love. He wants everyone to see the truth of the good news, repent of their sins, place their faith in him. 2 Peter chapter 3 reinforces this once again. I want to make this very, very clear. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. When Jesus came to this earth, he came in grace and offers freedom to all sinners. It's a gift. I don't know about anybody else, but I like free. I like a bargain. And this is it. It's a gift that can't be earned. It can't be bought. It requires perfection. And Jesus gives himself to us so that we may have grace. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, listen to this, beloved, by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, the gift of eternal life. There are two beneficiaries of this text. There are two categories of those this applies to. The first is whoever. Whoever. For you King James translation, whosoever. This means anyone. Any person who calls out to God at any time can be saved. You say, Pastor, give me another scripture reference to prove that. Gladly. Glad you asked. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whoever trusts in him, whoever repents and has faith that Jesus died for them, whoever is called out in the text. You say, Pastor, who is it referring to? The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. I'm talking about whoever. Because God in his word says, I want everybody to be saved. No, listen, church. Nobody is beyond the reach of grace. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. I don't care. God doesn't care either, because God says it. Whoever, whosoever, who? That is the first recipient of the text, the first beneficiary. Now, the second beneficiary is not who. It's you. Instead of who, it's you. Instead of whosoever, it's you-soever. You say, Pastor, that is bad grammar. Yeah, but you're not going to forget it. 3:16 applies to you. Well, quit saying whosoever. Quit saying who and start saying you. The problem with 3:16, we have heard this so many times, we have become calloused to the Holy Spirit of God in this verse. Most of us can quote this verse from memory. And we don't even feel it. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. A couple months ago, North American Mission Board said, we want our pastors, we want to challenge you to preach the great verse 3:16. I'm in the middle of a great sermon series, John the Baptist. I don't got time for 3:16. And they said, we want to encourage all of our pastors, preach. I told my staff, I don't want to mess with that. In other words, I'm too good to preach 3:16. There's nothing technical. There's nothing theological. There's nothing complex. It's just a straightforward verse. I don't want to preach that. We've been there. We know that. And God said, this applies to you. Now, God in his Holy Spirit laid the conviction on me. Are you too good for 3:16? Has this verse lost its power? And we would say, no. The Word of God has not lost its power. Scripture says that. We got to be reminded of how amazing grace is. This great story that God loved us so much that he sent his only son so that we as individuals don't have to be destroyed, face continual punishment and perishing, that we have the gift of eternal life. Sometimes we overlook this verse. Sometimes we think we're beyond it. The recipient of this text is you. It's me. That we have this eternal life and we still cherish it. It still means something. But let me back up to the whoever. If you find yourself that you've never trusted in Christ, you've never believed, you've never repented, you never had faith in your heart, all you got to do to be right with God, as 1 Timothy says, is go through the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. If you believe in him, Scripture says, you'll be saved. You won't face punishment. You'll face grace. That's whoever believes. There's decisions after the moment of faith, the salvation experience. And we can talk about those decisions. But now we go back to you. When's the last time we stopped and thought, man, God loved me so much. He gave his only son to pay my penalty. Church, I got two sons. I wouldn't give either one of them for you. And I love you, church. I do. But not like I love my sons. But God loved you. God loved the world so much, he gave his only son. And I love my daughter too. I'll throw you in there too. I love all my kids the same. And when you accept God the Son, when Jesus looks at you, he sees you as his. You belong to God. The same love he has for the Son, he places on us. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate Lord's Supper together. I can't think of a better day when we talk about the love of God. And so I invite you to consider your soul, to reflect. Scripture says that we have to come to his table in a worthy fashion. So if you have any unconfessed sin, if you got anything going on in your life you need to surrender to God, do it right now. In just a moment, I'll pray. You'll have time to pray and get your hearts right with God. And then we will celebrate communion, Lord's Supper together. And then we will have a time of invitation. If you need to make a decision or if you want to pray, you have a time before you. So let's pray and let's prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to just reflect on this great verse, this story of how you have redeemed us. We see your love, we see Christ, and we find ourselves as the recipient of grace and mercy. Father, would you direct our thoughts, our hearts, that we refresh our spirits before you. We'd ask forgiveness of our sins and prepare ourselves to celebrate Lord's Supper. Father, if someone today needs to make a decision of faith, if they need to come alive and say yes to Jesus Christ, may they do that, whether they're in this room or listening online. Father, bless us as we worship and meet with you in a special way. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, amen.